Here we are. Hour number two. It's the Jeff and Erica Hour. We do these three nights a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, to try to help you better understand the, almost imponderably evil events that are unfolding 25 hours a day around the world, not just here. The death rate is growing all the time. It is being carefully and cleverly hidden and obfuscated by a complicit mainstream media, which is owned by the very people behind this whole thing. So there you go. Erica, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
It's nice to have you there. Be boring without you.
Oh.
All right. Here's the deal. We've got the issue of blood transfusions. Now, I mentioned that I had known someone who was talking about, I'm going to go get a blood transfusion because my such and such count was really low. And I said, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, yes. Well, it's at Cedars-Sinai Hospital in L.A. They're the best. They know what they're doing. And I just got disregarded. I paid no attention. She went down and got a transfusion or fusions, and she was dead in 6 weeks. That's what I gave her.
Now I remember.
Weeks. And yep. It's happening all the time. And now what's happening, though, it's interesting. Those of, we'll call it pure blood, because that's what they're saying. In other words, people who have not been vaccinated with the bioweapon are pure blood, and the strictest terms have pure blood as meaning not tested either, up the nose or wherever. So you haven't been tested and you're pure. So that's good. Here's the headline. Demand for unvaccinated blood is real. And I'm going to add, it's growing. Doctors acknowledge grumpily. So doctors are not happy about people wanting unvaxxed blood. Let me read a little bit more of the story, then we'll kind of take it apart for you. Safe blood hardliners want to set up unvaxxed blood banks. Sounds kind of logical to me. Anti-vaxxers are trying to create a new global infrastructure for the supply of unvaccinated blood, driven by conspiracy theories and pseudoscientific beliefs about the dangers of mRNA COVID vaccines. The article goes on and on about how unscientific and ignorant is the demand for unvaccinated blood. What is interesting is that even doctors acknowledge a lot of demand for it exists now, and it's growing all the time. I doubt that the entirety of the demand is from regular people like you and I, writes the author of this piece. Likely, the very rich people who can afford to allocate some young health people's blood to themselves may pay an insignificant to their net worth premium for getting unvaccinated blood. Now, we said two things there, unvaxxed blood and young blood, young healthy people's blood. There's several aspects to that that need to be unfolded. So let's kind of just jump into this wherever you'd like to go first. We can also point out to guests, if you look under Jeff and Erica, you will see aged blood. Oh, my screen just flipped. There it is. Aged blood makes young cells old. Aged blood makes young cells old. In other words, if you get a transfusion of old person's blood, your young cells are going to get old and you're going to age. There's another aspect to it. So the idea of having unvaxxed young blood, don't think adrenochrome, not yet anyway, we're not there yet, but think about it. Young blood will not age the cells in your body like old person's blood apparently does. All right, let's go. Where do we go?
Well, yeah, so that's been an area of research for a number of years now, and it was shown in animals, mice, where if they transfuse an older mouse with a younger mouse's blood, you know, it has a rejuvenative effect.
If they put an old mouse blood and they transfuse it into a younger mouse, it has a negative impact on that younger mouse's blood.
Well, yes. And so the opposite is true as well. And this article, which was published in 2019, describes the different changes. And it's pretty extensive.
Give us a few.
So it works both ways. So, you know, you really do want to think twice before consenting to a blood transfusion with this degree of contamination that's visibly evident. Mm-hmm. We have that photograph there of what was collected in a blood donation center from a vaxxed person versus an unvaxxed person, and it's visibly different. You can see the dark hue to the vaxxed blood, which indicates it's been oxidized. You know, that they can probably restore that, of course, but still, it's sick blood.
Click on the first text under our names and guests, please, and you'll see the two samples that Erica is talking about. It's not quite black and white, but it's black and red. Take a look. Top link under our names. Go ahead.
So, you know, we've seen from the many live blood analyses that people have shared that the blood of the vaxxed is in horrific shape. Horrific. I mean, most of those red blood cells are damaged. You can see the cell membranes are just, they're shredded. I don't know what portion of the blood they can harvest for use. You know, there's other components in there besides red blood cells. There's, you know, the protein components in the plasma, but you know, what else? mRNA, spike protein, and as Jeff had mentioned, he knows someone that died subsequent to a transfusion, and I've since come across three or four different reports of people. It's usually involving children that they couldn't get the blood that they wanted. The hospital would not allow them to do a direct donor donation where they could actually provide the blood themselves to their child. And the children subsequently died after receiving this blood that's a part of the common blood supply now from clots, blood clots.
Okay,
so I don't even know how this is allowed.
No, it's outrageous. First of all, the blood is, and I think I can speak for Erica, if you get a transfusion of typical Red Cross, Double Cross blood, you might as well be getting an injection or two of the bioweapon, okay? You're going to get it. Simple.
Oh, that and
you're
more.
You're going to get spike? Yes. You're going to get mRNA, you're going to get spike, and God only knows what else. So you're screwed. You get a blood transfusion, you're toast. If you go into a hospital and try and say, well, I'm going to put my own blood aside if I need any blood during this coming surgery. But if you've already had the vax, it doesn't matter much. Although I would rather have my own vaxxed blood than from the pool of the vaxxed, because we don't know. Now, you also don't know when you're giving younger people a blood transfusion, how much of that blood in the components that are mixed together is from old people. So
that's right.
Could have a negative impact right then and there, even if it was pure blood, okay? If they did manage to set up these unvaxxed blood banks, you don't know if it's young blood or old blood, and you want to match, ideally, the person getting the transfusion with the age of the blood, approximately. That's what you'd want to do if you were intelligent and cared, but I'm not hearing that even talked about, not yet.
No, this is obvious, you know, a covert way to spread this disease around.
You bet. Yeah. Not to mention, if you're in line at the supermarket and someone in front of you coughs and you don't have a mask on, you are in all likelihood, if they're shot up, going to be inhaling spike proteins, and you don't want to do that. Maybe you're getting mRNA as well. And it may be biologically active mRNA, just like it is when it's put into your arm. And maybe the spike proteins are able to replicate. We don't know for sure. They say they aren't, but I don't trust any of them.
Yeah, it's, you know, it comes down to either you breathe your own exhalations or you're breathing somebody else's. take your pick.
So the demand for unvaxxed blood, how would blood be screened for being unvaxxed? How are they really going to know? I mean, if you listen to this just for fun, if you listen to the big three or any of the other so-called alt media streams, you're going to be hearing things about, ducts and glands that were supposedly secreting venom. This is crazy. It's completely crazy.
Oh, God, it gets more bizarre as time goes on.
So how would you even screen for something like that if it was true, but it's not true? Of course. No, people are not walking around growing venom glands in their bodies. This is the latest, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it kind of makes you miss hydras, doesn't it? You're growing glands that are going to be emitting. I just can't buy this. It's crazy. Venom. It's nuts. And Dr. Artis is saying now there are, close to 40 different kinds of venoms that can be in your body.
They're apparently spraying on us, and our bacteria are replicating the venoms.
Yeah, right. So, okay. If they were going to screen the blood, how would they do it? They'd have to screen for mRNA. They'd have to screen for spike. They have to screen for probably that other protein that you identified. And we don't know what it does. It's bigger than the spike protein. And all kinds of other things. And if you listen to the so-called alt media, they'll tell you that, they have AI, biologically active parasites now. So they're going to have to screen for that too.
The other issue is we know the vaxxed blood is destroyed, essentially. I mean, it's some of the worst-looking blood people have ever seen.
Look at the picture again, please. And you remember, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I don't want people to miss this. Look at the first text under our names. Click on that and look at the two samples. Remember what Nurse Anne said. She said the blood of the vaxxed, in every case, is virtually black. There it is. Look at the picture. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. So quite often you can see microbes that are in the blood of the vaxxed, and now I don't know to what extent they're screening these out. I mean, they are supposed to screen for the trypanosoma parasite, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HIV, syphilis, Zika virus, West Nile virus, and Babesia, along with HIV. But, you know, there's other things, too. You can only find what you're looking for. And if you're not testing for these other things, they're, I don't know, in all likelihood, if it's a sick person, they will be in there.
I didn't hear you mention spike protein in that list or mRNA in that list.
It's not currently on the list because they said outright that it's not an issue. You know, here they are lying again.
But they do best.
But the blood of the vax is sick. You can see it. I don't even know
look
how that qualifies
picture.
As a viable
No. And
product.
That blood, remember, goes to the lab when it's drawn, if they can get the draw. And it's clotting already as soon as it's taken out of the body. And by the time it gets to the lab, it's worthless. They can't use
it. Well, in those people that are at that point, I suspect that some people do okay for a while. I mean, I know of several people who have gotten the vax that have donated blood within a day or two of the vax. And they're proud of it.
Well, I wonder how many they're going to end up killing.
I know.
Sorry. That's the truth of the matter.
No, that is the truth.
So, if you've been
vaxxed, I don't know what we're going to do about that, but you know, it's going to be a crisis.
You got a mega-billion-dollar industry, the Red Cross. They're not going to do anything. They're not going to admit to any potential problems with the blood. They're making a fortune.
Well, yeah. And as far as the HIV screening is concerned, there used to be a mandatory 1 year, 12-month deferral for specifically for homosexual men who have sex with men. They call it MSM, And they dropped it down to 3 months as of sometime in 2020, April 2020 in the U.S. Uh-huh. And many of the European countries followed suit. And in some of them, that would include Australia and New Zealand as well, there is no waiting period. You just answer the same set of questions that a heterosexual would answer, and you're good to go.
Well, that also brings us up to the issue of lying, okay?
Right.
People are lying all the time now, and I think it's really infesting the dating market in this country. If you're out socializing, and people now are smart enough to know that if they can say they're not vaxxed, they're probably going to be more in demand. That's just the way it is. And so we are facing that kind of a problem.
Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately. And so, I see in, you know, from the comments in the shedding group, just what a difficult situation it is for young people looking to meet somebody that isn't vaxxed.
Yeah.
And it's tough.
Not to mention the reproductive
heart wants what the heart
issues.
Wants.
Correct. The heart, I've heard that for years. The heart wants what the heart wants, and reality be damned.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if you're out in the dating business, whether you're in your 60s or in your 20s, you've got a lot of things that you better play very, very seriously and very close to the vest. And that's the truth. If you are lied to and you have intimate relations with someone who is an opposite vax status of yourself, there are going to be ramifications, big ones. Aged blood makes young cells old. Tell me a little bit more about that. That's very interesting. How does that work, and why should it work?
Well, as people age, the blood ages like everything else. And, there's inflammatory proteins in there. There's old antibodies. It doesn't have the ability to, regenerate to, doesn't have that life-giving property to it. You can tell. I mean, there is a difference.
Life force.
Life force not something, there. Yeah. The electrical potential of it, zeta potential. It's just old. It's lost its vitality. Not that it couldn't, if it was reasonably healthy, be of benefit to somebody that needed it. But there is a difference. There's a distinct difference.
I agree.
It is an interesting article how, that when they do introduce the older blood to a younger organism, I wouldn't say it's an organism. These are probably done in cell cultures where they can actually see the changes in the cell upon exposure to the old blood versus the young blood.
Mm-hmm. The article says, one thing that this study makes very clear is that the exact biological relationship between blood and aged gene expression will require significant effort to fully understand. And it's likely that advanced algorithms and data analysis will be employed in examining this relationship in each cell type. However, this research appears to offer us a direct, if difficult, path to a therapy that will induce partial rejuvenation in human beings at the gene expression level, if we are able to safely replace the pro-aging factors in our blood with youthful ones through plasmapheresis or another method, such a therapy could potentially provide a path to broad systemic rejuvenation across a great many of our cells. Now, this does kind of nudge the door open to this whole thing of consuming adrenochrome, the blood of God knows what, the sacrificed young, the people that go around Planned Parenthood picking up, aborted fetuses and then get the blood out of them. I don't know how it works, but the idea of young blood having a benefit to the body is something that is only going to fuel the idea of adrenochrome. I can't.
Well, yeah,
see it,
I mean,
it is ghoulish.
It is ghoulish.
Yeah.
You're right. But you know, it's there's some truth to it. There are, you know, the young blood does have a certain essence, life essence to it, a vitality to it that is capable of altering genetic expression to resetting the clock, the aging clock.
But yeah, and you can't request it. You can't say, "I want young blood."
Oh no,
Even if you do, what are you going to get? You're going to get this massive mixture of allegedly young blood, and a lot of the younger people are going to have been shot up. So the blood will be contaminated with spike and with mRNA and everything else. So look, the bottom line in this whole discussion is no transfusions, more needles. No, don't do it. And if you're in a position where your life depends on it, just expect that your life is probably going to be shortened by it, unless we get to a point where there actually is, allegedly, clean blood, pure blood. I don't know when that will happen.
Yeah, we're a ways away from that.
Oh, yeah.
They won't acknowledge that it's a problem, so until then...
No, they will not. No. All right, so there you go. There's your update on unvaxxed blood and the idea of young versus old blood, which I'll never forget that video of Joe Biden at the airport and that, I think it was a governor's son, handing him that red-filled vial about 5-6 inches long that he grabbed in his hand and carefully put it up his coat sleeve.
Yeah.
It wasn't tomato juice.
Nope.
So, all right. Okay, what do you want to do next? We can bring some more humanity to this, human issues.
Yeah, we've got a fairly detailed reader, the saga of a person who took the vax, one of the first people, healthcare workers, to take the vax back in 2019, or was it 2020, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. This is a post in a group. Has anyone seen success with C60 for the vax injured? I'm a functional nurse practitioner. My sister is a registered nurse who was one of the first to get one dose of Moderna. She had an immediate reaction and has battled multitude of issues in the past 2 years. She has not worked as a registered nurse since the day of the first dose of Moderna, and she is trying to get permanent disability at this time.
Okay, hold on.
Thank goodness.
Hold on, please. Sorry, this is important. Things tend to just float by all of us who listen to these things, but this woman, 2 years ago, got one shot. A lot of people think, well, I only got one shot. This person's life was ruined by that one Moderna injection. She can't work. She is a wreck. So, yes, it does vary from person to person. And yes, there are more competent batches of these death shots around than others. But in this case, I just want to make it clear that it just took one shot and this woman's life is destroyed. Go ahead.
And, well, rumor has it, too, that those initial batches were some of the more potent ones.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of people that were injured early on during the rollout, these healthcare workers.
Especially the AstraZeneca.
Yeah. Well, Moderna, too. Moderna, that did a number on a lot of people.
J&J.
Okay. She's trying to get disability at this time, permanent disability at this time. Thank goodness she only had one dose, but her symptoms wax and wane, as well as seem to travel throughout different body systems, with the most persistent being neurological symptoms. For neurological, she's experiencing tremors, uncontrollable movements, seizure-like episodes, but is fully aware and awake, neuropathic tingling, numbness. She has symptoms of what I think could be mast cell activation syndrome, including throat swelling and hives. She has had symptoms of autoimmune hepatitis that are currently resolved. For cardiac, She has persistent tachycardia, up to 130 beats at rest, never less than 100 without a beta blocker, and seems to be developing tolerance to beta blockers, which had been the best treatment to help her heart rate. She also had syncopal episodes that were not sure if they were cardiac or neuro. Endocrine, hypoglycemic episodes that are resistant to treatment. She has to eat and drink what seems to be a lot to even get glucose to tolerable levels, and present very rapidly, seemingly unrelated to intake prior. Renal, she is having mild renal insufficiency despite not having any comorbidities that could have contributed, and she drinks a lot of water daily, like at least 80 ounces daily. Output seems normal, though labs show persistently mild creatinine, BUN elevation. Her glomerular filtration rate is 55, and she is only 41 years old and well.
What's the eGFR?
That's a measure of kidney function.
Okay.
So that's a little on the low side. She has been seen by every neurologist group in our local area, and of course, all refuse to acknowledge the cause and have even told her it's psychological. Her cardiologist seemed to think everything was fine, but her heart rate has been more consistently elevated at all times, and so cardiology was able to visualize this last week and finally started a Holter monitor. I ordered her an echocardiogram. It was normal, except mild mitral regurgitation, not felt to be impacting, and her ejection fraction was 65%. The only thing that has helped her for any length of time has been a man from Kentucky who has a PhD in reflexology. He developed a sonic wave therapy machine that is similar to pulse wave therapy. Honestly, if it were not for these treatments, I do not know if she would be alive today. 1.5 years ago, she was dying. These treatments mostly help with the neurological symptoms, though. They don't seem to help anything else, really. Heart rate, glucose, hepatic, renal, immune, not seem to improve at all with the pulse wave therapy. We're doing the iRecover protocol from FLCCC using ivermectin. HCQ didn't seem to help at all. She has been on the full first-line therapies without much improvement right now. What is my best likelihood of trying to do next? Do I continue the first-line therapies with additional therapies? I did start C60 as well. I am a functional nurse practitioner, but relatively inexperienced in this game. I've been a functional nurse practitioner for 3.5 years, and I am honestly just worried sick that she is going to have a myocardial infarction if she developed tolerance to her beta blocker. I'm grateful at this point to have been given 2 more years with my sister because I truly thought I wouldn't have it. But I'm selfish and I want more years. Please, anyone that can help guide me on what to do next, I would be so grateful. Thank you.
This is happening, remember, among billions of people. Over 5 billion injected. We don't know how many times, once, twice. It doesn't matter. Once is enough if you got a hot lot. It's obvious.
Yeah.
So that's a sad story. One shot, and that's it. See, you won't read about this. You won't hear about it.
They're left to their own devices. They're just fumbling along. You go
to as many specialists as you want, and what are they going to do? They're going to give you test after test after test and bill your insurance provider and come back and say, well, your levels are this, your levels are that. There's no answer for it. So I hate to say it, but it's generally speaking a waste of time to go to a doctor when you've been vax injured. When you've had this bioweapon and it has begun to do its dirt, its satanic, demonic dirt in your system, there's not anything those tests are going to do except confirm what you know already. You're sick.
Well, sometimes they don't really, really show anything. I hear that repeatedly. Nothing's turning up. Everything looks fine.
So what is
that? And then they're given this diagnosis of anxiety.
Yes. It's all in your head. Go home. Mm. Take you better get on SSRIs. We're going to have to get you to relax. It's just too much stress. Because there's nothing in the test. But no, there's nothing in the test because this is a bioweapon, brilliantly designed, unbelievably effectively deployed, and tragically doing exactly what it was supposed to do. Kill people. That's what it's doing. Little children, the unborn, to the elderly. And boy, are they going after the elderly. And boy, are they going after the truth now with all these stories about graphene oxide. And now, yesterday, it was the, you're growing in your body glands and ducts for any one of a number of different venom products. It just boggles the mind.
It's incredible. It does reek of desperation. I don't know if it's because, you know, we're getting closer to the truth or they're just having fun with people.
It's pretty sadistic, so it may be the latter. Maybe a mix. I don't know. Who knows? It's bad. Meanwhile, the cancer issue continues to explode. It's all over the place. And it goes down on a death certificate as it died of cancer of this or that. Doesn't say anything about the shots. Never will. Not a chance. So here are a number of stories about cancers. And these cancers, by the way, are often appearing all over the body. They're not commonly found in one area or another. It's just like what Dr. Blaylock said, that we were going to find cancers that we have never seen before in some cases. It's bizarre. It's true. All right, here, let's read a few of these. Okay. He didn't die from the cancer. He had a blood clot that had made its way to his heart. He passed shortly after the operation, I believe. He knew going into the surgery that it was very risky and said so himself. Cancer is caused by many things, in the environment that we have no control over. He was a healer, not a magician. Well, sorry, he took the shots.
Yep. It's becoming rather predictable at this point.
Expected,
yeah. Yes. It's what happened with the animal trials.
People don't remember. Go ahead and recap that. How many?
Yeah, well, they've been playing around with this technology for decades now.
Right.
And the drawback was always that these lipid nanoparticles were cytotoxic. They just destroyed cells.
Mm-hmm.
And cancer was very often the outcome of the animals who had been injected with this stuff. With or without mRNA, just the lipid nanoparticles all by themselves are toxic and mutagenic, carcinogenic. They're positively charged. They stay inside cells, and they create oxidative stress that destroy everything that's in there. And if the cell does not commit apoptosis, as it might not, if there's a spike protein interfering with that process, then it becomes immortalized and grows and spreads and becomes a viable cancer.
Right. Okay.
So none of this is really shocking, but I guess the shocking part is that, and, you know, Nurse Ann brought this up, is that these people can be walking around and have really a disseminated cancer and not be aware of it.
Go ahead, take the next one.
A friend called me yesterday with sad news. Her husband was told on September 15th that he had cancer. It was in every organ, plus full of tumors. It progressed so fast, within 2 weeks of finding out, doctors said there's nothing they can do but try to keep him comfortable with morphine and pain meds. They are not making the connection with the jabs, and I didn't have the heart to say anything. She's in shock and mourning her husband dying in front of her eyes.
I'm Yeah, another amazing story. Okay, that's not number two here. Did you go to number two?
Yes.
Okay, here it's all messed up. It goes 1, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Then there's number two down there. So,
Okay.
okay, that's fine. I'll find number three. Hold on. There's number three. Okay. I'm currently sitting in a hospital room watching my brother die from cancer that showed up after his vaccine and has spread like wildfire. I want to see these evil people pay with their lives. I've seen that more than once lately. People
Oh,
want to hold
yeah.
these people fully, utterly, in a capital punishment sense, accountable. And I understand that. I really do understand it. Here's the next one. Wait, did you take the vax? I know of a lot of people from 20s to 60s that developed stage four cancer. My neighbor developed pancreatic cancer after his second shot, died months later after he found out. You can try a lot of black cumin seed oil and NAC. Some women survived in their 20s and 30s, but lost their reproductive systems in the process. It destroys the immune system, the vaccines, allowing for cancers and other stuff to run rampant in the body. This is exactly has been our point from the beginning. These people are quickly given AIDS. They have no normal defenses, no anti-tumor, anti-cancer defenses. They're disabled, and they go right down, down, gone.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Number five.
Healthy, yeah, number five. A healthy 59-year-old COVID vaccinated friend of mine got diagnosed with stage four colon cancer. Yes, the COVID-19 vaccines destroy the immune system, and the immune system takes care of all the cancer cells that we all have in our bodies. So if you mess with your immune system, you increase your chance of cancer. Oncologists are saying they not only see many, many more cancers than before, but also much worse cancers. First diagnosis being stage four used to be very rare. Not anymore under the COVID-19 vaccinated. I wish you all the best. Look for holistic doctors. Also follow protocols to deal with the spike protein. I do not know how that interacts with the cancer, but it certainly does not help to have these in your stomach and other organs. You are not unlucky. You are one of millions, and over the next years, without a doubt, tens of hundreds of millions that will get cancer from these shots. These are bioweapons. This is what they are supposed to do. Yeah, some people get it.
That's what we've been trying to deliver to the listeners for a long time, and word is around now, and yet people still take these shots. It's still
Yeah,
happening.
most are not, they're not connecting it because quite often, a period of time will pass between their last injection and the diagnosis. And they figure there's no correlation.
None.
They don't understand that
None.
these are not traditional vaccines.
They have nothing to do with vaccines.
No,
Nothing.
and they were, the definition was changed to encompass these gene transfections under the umbrella of a vaccine, and they're not.
No.
But people are made to believe that they're, it's just another vaccine.
Here's another one. A friend of mine. And what we're doing here is again reading to all of you to give you information that the mainstream media will never give you. These are real stories of real people, and this is not even a visible tip on the end of the spear of this horror that's going on. A friend of mine is having problems with her liver, and she just found out her friend, mom of four, age 48, just passed away from liver cancer. Perfectly healthy before she got the shots. Here's another one. We've lost 5 family members since the jab came out. Many others who I know are jabbed and suddenly have aggressive terminal cancers. It's going to just get worse. See, these, keep in mind, these cancers are systemic cancers. They're all over the place.
Yeah.
It's not confined, oh my God, I've got maybe kidney cancer or esophageal cancer or what. There, it's everywhere. And diagnosis to death is often a month or less. When the first diagnosis is stage 4,
that doesn't leave you a lot of options.
No. Go ahead. 8.
My IgE count was above 7,400. Then not long after that, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. I don't know if there's a correlation, but I have a gut feeling it somehow ties into it. I had the test because of how bad my asthma is. There was a medication that was supposed to be administered via IV, but in order to qualify, the IgE count needed to be below 2,800. Obviously, due to my count, I didn't qualify. And knowing what we know now about Big Pharma, I am blessed to not have qualified.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, number 10. I just had a neighbor, and then the response to this partial question, I don't have it all. Thanks for this info. I would like to collect information like this so I can find what caused my sister to have breast cancer. Is it from the vaccine or something else? But I'm 70% sure it was caused by the vaccine. And then someone adds to that, this chemical formula can be worked in different ways, and I'm not sure what that is, but it's probably relating to an earlier question in that thread. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But go ahead, number 11.
I think we skipped number 9. I'll come.
Oh, good.
Do that one. My mother-in-law got the booster in November of 2021 and was hospitalized at the end of December 2021. Diagnosed with liver, lung, and brain cancer.
See?
She passed on her 76th birthday, July 24th, 2022.
The body has no ability to stall this, to delay it. It's wide open. It's open season.
Yeah, it's
all
shocking.
Right. Crazy. Number 10 we did. Number 11...
We're on to
12. We're on to 12 now? Okay,
yep.
12. I have a dear friend. Is this it? 12?
Yep.
All right. I have a dear friend who is older, but older than his diabetes. Other than his diabetes, he was fine all of a sudden. He's got cancer now, and there's nothing they can do for him. They did have a series of chemo and radiation, but it's not helping. And then today I found out one of my daughter's friends' husbands just found out he has colon cancer. He's only 40 years of age. Breaks my heart. Onward.
Okay. Same here. I couldn't believe my mom even got them either. I knew my dad and brother would, but my mom never even had a flu shot. So I was thinking, good, she won't go for this. But then she did. I was heartbroken. An aunt also had them, and then she was diagnosed with some form of cancer in her throat, which she had an operation to remove. But I just don't understand how they don't see this stuff all happen to them after they got the shots. It's incredible, I know.
It's mind-boggling. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with sadness for those who took the shots. All those I know now have cancer back or several diseases or complications they didn't have before, and some have died. I think the ones who know now and regret must be nervous, if not terrified, of what's going to happen to them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
been listening to the live stream earlier today, especially the part about the turbo cancers, something I noticed too. Two close friends of my best friend died of these rapidly growing cancers in the past month. I hope it's a coincidence, but I'm afraid it's not.
Two close friends of my best friend died of these rapidly growing cancers in just the past month. Do you see why when I suggest, and I don't have hard and fast proof of this, but I will be willing to bet that tens of thousands of people may be dying every day or on many days all around the country under any number of umbrella-covered so-called causes of death. They've got a whole long panorama of things they can use, and you'll never see it tied to the vax. Just it won't happen. Go ahead, read the next one.
Okay, this was looks like a response to somebody who was questioning whether they're shedding. There are loads of studies showing the transfer of COVID to pets and from pets to people. I also have many vaccinated friends whose pets have become ill after the owner's vaccination. I have over 15 friends that have had to put their animals down because they develop a weird neurological condition that cannot be explained, GI issues, and stop eating, or rapid growing cancers. Same stuff humans are experiencing post-jab. The animals are dogs, cats, and goats so far, of varying ages from babies to old-timers. Currently have recently boosted friends that both their puppies are sick. Plenty of scientific studies as well as trial data from the manufacturers showing that shedding is real. You really need to inform yourself before you shoot your nasty mouth off.
Yeah, well, words to the wise, but doesn't do much good. What number are we at now?
18.
Two women I know, one in her 40s, has brain cancer. The other is only 25 and now has a clip in her brain forevermore. Neither of them associated their troubles with the vax.
I'm thinking that clip means she had an aneurysm and they...
clipped it.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
All right, okay.
So we got the puppies in there. That's important. Your pets are at risk if you're vaxxed.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Very simple. And if you bring vaxxed around your pets, it's the same as bringing the vaxxed around your children. Same.
Yep.
Same. So I don't know where we are here.
19.
All right. I'm sorry for your loss. It's possible they called it cancer, but weren't even sure what was going on. Or it's possible that there is technology in some of those shots that promotes advanced tissue decay. Well, you count on that. There's a lot of facets to this situation, such as placebos, minimal, and varying experimental ingredients, and not one person has all the answers. Keep in touch through this channel, and you'll come across lots of information to help provide closure.
Okay, number 20?
20, that was 20, I think. No, it wasn't 20. Yeah, go.
Okay. 20. Anybody got information about the jabs causing the rapid cancer spread? My husband had blood clots due to the jabs, July of 2021. And was unwell on the 25th of October, 2021. He was in a lot of pain in his back and ribs. He had scans, bloods, ECG, all different tests done, and they said they couldn't find anything wrong. His pain got so bad, I took him to the hospital on the 8th of November, 2021. They ran more tests on the 9th of November. They told me he had cancer in his lungs, ribs, and spine. He passed away on the 5th of December, 2021. How can his test be clear in October, then about 14 days later, his body is full of cancer? I know the jabs caused his blood clots and caused him a massive bleed, and he had to be out on a ventilator. I know it had something to do with the cancer spread rapid spread also.
Wow.
How to destroy a human being.
Oh, anti-life. 21 is next?
Yep.
Two people I know, women, both in their 50s, got breast cancer 4 months after the shots. 32-year-old, old school friend, died of a heart attack in the gym. Fittest lad I knew. 21-year-old friend died at the gym in February of a heart attack. It doesn't add up. Oh, but it does. Okay,
yeah.
Next. Let's see if we can get through these.
Okay. I also know two people with cancer after the shot, and one of them just died. He was healthy before doing three shots. After the third shot, he was suddenly diagnosed with a brain tumor and died after 2 months. And I hear so many of friends have problems with their grandparents suddenly becoming insane or suffering with dementia after three shots.
Insane. I wonder if that is alluding to personality changes or CJD kind of insanity, Alzheimer's. Who knows?
Yeah, just altered mental status.
Yeah, it changes you. I am looking someone who get diagnosed breast cancer after 3 month get dose third vaccine. See, I just want you to know how these are difficult to read. I'm assuming she's saying I'm looking at someone who got diagnosed with breast cancer after 3 months and the third dose of the vaccine series. Please let me know because my family didn't have genetic breast cancer. And if in this group, someone else, has the data about the number of cancers because of COVID vaccine victims, please let me know and share. All right. Next.
Has anybody heard of acid reflux and now stomach cancer after having the vax, or am I just unlucky? I never had any health problems in all of my 44 years, and now I have a stage 4 level cancer of the stomach.
See? Stage 4. There's no 1, 2, or 3 with this stuff. It just booms. I just had a neighbor who lives across the street from me who just got diagnosed, tested, and she has breast cancer. Yes, she got the jab. Not sure how many times, though. She can't remember. I also have another sweet neighbor who's done the same thing. And her second jab, she was sick for a few days. She got over it. Yeah, right. Her health was already compromised with other health issues. Why would anyone go ahead and do it is beyond me.
All right, last one. COVID now is a runny nose, and the clot shot is killing with 7 different kinds of smoke. 9 of my coworkers, healthcare, have cancer. 2 died of a cancer.
Geez.
2 young ones off with heart issues. Why would someone risk death to prevent a runny nose? There you go.
9 coworkers, cancer. Wow. Well, words to the wise, dear friends. Words to the wise. All right. Thanks, Erica.
Put it, Jeff.
Up there again. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. My pleasure. Have a good evening, everyone.
All right. And we will be right back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.